Jason from Merp from Portland. How are you?
All right. How are you?
Good.
Perfect timing.
Excellent. Well, it is a pleasure to speak with you. How is Vegas?
Oh, it's great. You know, pretty warm in the 90s. But, you know, it's not like summer. It's not like August.
We are here to talk about your Twisted Hot Sauce and your appearance at the first ever Headbangers Con in November.
Yep. Yep.
So I wanted to find out, how were you approached to be part of Headbangers Con?
Oh, I'm friends with David Jones. You know, he did the thing with my hot sauce at the Hot Sauce Festival, the expo that they have every year in August. You know, when he did that, plus I had met him a few years ago back at one of the NAMM shows in California, in Anaheim. That's basically how I got to know him, and then he was interested in doing the Hot Sauce Expo because he does a lot of different shows. There's another couple of food festivals that I think he's been doing and selling my hot sauce. So, you know, when the Headbangers Con thing came up, he asked me to be a guest. You know, we talked about everything. It seems like it's going to be really well done, so looking forward to it.
I think so, too. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Will you be representing both Twisted Sister and the hot sauce?
Basically, yeah. I mean, the hot sauce is my own hot sauce. It's not the band's hot sauce. You know, I call it Twisted Hot Sauce because, you know, Twisted Sister. it's a good name for hot sauce, and, you know, I was able to trademark the name and the website, so it was the perfect way to go. Keep the name shorter, too, instead of just having A.O. Haters Twisted Hot Sauce. That's a big website.
Right.
Yeah.
Will you be doing any of the performing or Q&As at the Headbangers Con?
I'm pretty sure for right now it's just more like Q&As and signing and photos. I don't know about any kind of performing. I'm not sure what they're doing as far as that goes. I know there's a couple of bands performing, but I don't know what they're going to do, if they're going to have some of us come up and do songs or one of our songs with whatever band is playing. I mean, there's quite a few people, so I'm not sure who's, you know, how they're going to work that out yet.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see you with this being the first one. So I
wanted
to ask you, there are three sauces in your collection. Is that true?
Yes.
So there's a mildish one, a medium one, and a hot one. So like on a scale of 1 to 10, it'd be like a 3, a 5, a 7, something like that?
Yeah, the three, the apple is a mild, which is, you know, some people want some heat, but they can't deal with the habanero, so it's a serrano pepper. And, you know, it's apple, which is also sweeter. And, you know, I just wanted to have something which is mild. But most hot sauce people want really hot sauce, you know, so. And the cherry habanero is like a 5 out of 10 heat-wise. And then the peach Carolina Reaper, which is, Carolina Reaper is like the hottest pepper in the world right now. It was made by, the strain was created by a man called Ed Curry. It's kind of funny his last name is Curry.
I know.
Yeah. But he's from Carolina, you know, so he created that, and it's really done well. His pepper has become very popular. A lot of people are using it. So I decided to use that one, and that's like an 8 out of 10. Heat-wise, and it's pretty hot. I mean, to me, there's some hot sauces that are just, if it's a 10 out of 10, or even if you go above, you know, some hot sauces are just, to me, if it's too hot, it's almost not, you can't eat it. You know, it depends. Some people really want the top of their heads to sweat. You know, I mean, if they put some on, you know, I wanted something that was edible, so I just kept it at an 8. And the habanero is still pretty hot. I mean, for some people, everybody's different. I've seen some people really react to the cherry, which is a 5 out of 10. But this is like the scale of 1 to 10 is for people that really eat hot sauce. Some people that are very sensitive or can't have spicy foods, you know, even the apple might be a little strong for them. You know, people that really like hot sauce, the 5 or anything 5 to, between 5 and 10 is what they want. That's for the real hotheads. And then there's some people that just, they're crazy about the apple. They pour like a ton of it on, you know, because you could use more. If it's not as hot, you could use more of it. So it's, it all depends. Everybody's different. I've seen different reactions. But for the most part, you know, different reviewers and people that know hot sauce have agreed with the numbers that I came up with. You know.
So is there an official ranking system for heat?
Yeah. There's a whole scale. There's a whole scale of peppers. It's on my, I have a Facebook Twisted Hot Sauce, AO Hater Twisted Hot Sauce page. I have a scale on there that shows the different capsaicin from different hot sauces, you know. So it goes from, it's all different scales of some of the heat levels that are really high. I mean, mace, or what they call mace, is really pepper, because technically it's an irritant, you know, and that's why they make pepper spray. People use pepper spray to protect themselves. But I've seen people on the internet, you know, sort of making fun, like eating a ghost pepper or eating a whole, it was a YouTube video that went viral, I believe, because a couple of young girls, you know, I think they were in their teens, high school girls, took some Carolina Reapers and ate them whole, and they ended up going to the hospital. It's really, you know, even sometimes when I'm using stuff, I wear gloves, because if it gets on your skin and then you touch, like, your eye or an area that's, you know, sensitive, it'll still stay in there, and it can really burn the parts of your body where they're more sensitive. So some people don't take it seriously. And there's all kinds of YouTube people that challenge us. I mean, it's kind of funny, but you see people, like, really, like, dying, you know, like eating milk and falling on the floor and screaming.
Some of the ghost pepper challenges.
Yeah, the ghost pepper things. And that's not even as hot as the Carolina Reaper or the Scorpion. It's up there, though. But, you know, I don't know why people do that. I guess they want a video that goes viral. There's, you know, silly things, and, you know.
So I wanted to ask you, when you combine apple with mild, cherry with the medium one, and peach with the hot, with one of the Carolina Reaper, are there combinations that you've tried that would just offer?
Yeah, I mean, it's all up to anybody. I tell people you can put stuff in, like, tomato sauce if you want to spice it up, or any kind of sauce that you use, even a barbecue sauce. You could just add a little bit at a time and just, you know, get it a little hotter, a little spicier. I mean, I've used it a lot of things, a lot of times. I wanted to do a hot sauce because there was no cherry hot sauce available, and I like eating cherries, you know, just for, like, health reasons. I like cherries. I decided to do this one, and it turned out to be really popular. And at first, it was just something I wanted to do for myself, just to have my own hot sauce and, you know, make it available. But it did a lot better than I thought was going to do, and it turned into an actual business. So it was really, it's been great, because I've met a lot of people in the food industry. I ended up being on a series of Chopped, you know, on the Food Network. Did an episode of Chopped with Lita Ford. It's on their website. It's one of the episodes. I think they call it the Rock Something episode. And it was myself, Lita Ford, Kelly Hansen, the singer from Foreigner, and Dweezil Zappa. I had never seen the show, and then they asked me to do it. So I was a little, you know, unprepared to do it. I sort of had to watch a bunch of episodes the 2 days before I had to do the show. So some of the other guys were really familiar with the show. But it was a great time. Everybody was really cool. And it's a funny episode. You know, it's like, I don't want to give it away, but if people wanted to, it's, you know, I'm glad I was able to do it. And we did it basically for charity. Everybody picked their own charity, because you win when they have those competitions, like with different chefs or home chefs, you don't have to be a real chef, you know, like a legitimate professional chef. So they have a lot of home chefs, that people that just know how to cook, and, you know, and they do challenges, and they can win up to $10,000. So whoever won, the money was donated to the charity. So it was a good thing. It was difficult. It wasn't an easy show to do, but it was definitely a lot of fun.
Will fans be able to purchase the hot sauce at the convention?
I believe so. I'm hoping that we can work something out with that.
And if they're not in Portland for the convention, they can get it online.
Certainly. Right, at twistedhotsauce.com.
Are there stores that stock it, like a chain of stores that stock it?
There's quite a few mom-and-pop stores that have it, that got it through my distributors. I've been trying to get a list of people that carry it. I know Pepper Palace was carrying it for a while, and they have quite a few stores, but it's been hard to get a list of all the different stores. But a lot of these specialty stores that deal with special sauces and cooking places, like, thinking offhand some of the names of some of the places that carry it, but usually those specialty stores deal with some kind of, with food items, will carry it. But, you know, there's also quite a few online stores that carry it. For right now, because I deal with a couple of distributors and they sell it to a certain amount of people that they work with, and depending on who they sell it to, it's hard for me to keep up with the list of people. So, and you know, I'm selling it online as well. I have a fulfillment center in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, that takes care of that for me. So this way, if I'm traveling or I'm on tour or something, they can deal with it. When I first started doing it, my sons were helping me do it, and it was kind of cool at first, but it just got to a point where it was a little too difficult to keep sending stuff out from our house.
Right.
But I have been having this company in Florida do it, and they work with a lot of different people, and that's worked out really well for me.
We'll direct them to the website.
Yeah, the TwistedHotSauce.com. You know, it's always available there. I'd like, hopefully I'd like to get it in more stores or regular supermarkets, but at this time it's not something that, cost-wise, it's not worth it for me to do it because there's too many rules. You know, there's a lot of conditions that at this time it's not something that would work for me, just doing it online. And at these kind of festivals and shows or expos. And hopefully Dave is planning to sell it. I guess he'll sell it and then people will probably come over and have me sign the bottles.
Yeah, I think with this convention, it's so well planned, but, it's almost like there's room for anything because it's new.
Well, it's the first one. The first time, this is like trial and error, They know what they're doing because... I've done other things in the past, and all these shows have grown a lot. In the beginning it was crazy. Things didn't work out so well, but a lot of them, they got it together now. A lot of these different signing shows, they're just getting bigger and bigger now with different actors, and so it's something that worked out. It's working out well.
I'm excited. I covered my first Comic-Con last weekend, and I've never seen so many weird people in my life.
Yeah, Comic-Con gets out there. That's probably the biggest. Started out small, now they turned into like these huge. Comic-Con is probably one of the biggest ones,
And right.
Yeah, that really gets, that's an interesting crowd.
I have a few more questions, and I hope that you don't mind. I'm going to veer over to the music side for a little while.
Sure, no problem.
Being in Twisted Sister for 35-ish years?
35-ish is good. It's actually 40, I think, at this point.
I'm sure you've been to Portland quite a few times.
Yeah.
Is there anything in particular you like to do when you're here?
Last time I was there was pretty interesting, the Dante's Inferno thing, which was an interesting show. David Jones took me to that. And, I hadn't been there in so long. A lot of cities have really grown a lot. Especially cities like Portland, Nashville, things are a lot different than they were back when we first started touring. In the last 10 years, I've noticed a lot of growth in almost every city. But Portland's pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty hot there in the summer. What's it like there now? Is it like fall weather?
Yeah, it's cold. It was very abrupt. It was like 90 and 100 degrees, and all of a sudden it's 70 and rain.
Yeah, we've been getting that too in New York. I live in New York now, but I'm moving to Nashville again next year. It's just a little, the winters are getting too brutal.
You have no doubt done thousands of interviews. Is there a question that you particularly hate that you're asked over and over and over?
Well, people, not interviewers, but people, a lot of times people come up to me and ask me where Dee is. And I'm like, I have no idea where he is. Or even if we've been on tours and we're in a certain city or town, one of the first things people ask me is, where's D?
That's weird.
And I'm going like, well, he might be in the shower right now. I'm not sure.
Not my day to try to.
I don't hate it. It's just funny that that's one of the things people always ask. It's just one of those questions that's like certain people that have been on TV for a long time. They say, I remember I asked the same question to, I don't know if you remember a show called American Bandstand, but there was a guy called Dick Clark. He did the New Year's Eve shows. So I felt kind of lame when I said, I should have thought this should never ask him this question, but everybody says to him, I've been watching you. He says, I know, ever since you were this big. And I'm like, oh man, I didn't do that, did I? So it's like one of those things. So I don't know. Or sometimes, I get a little bit of that, too. Like, I've been watching you since, I saw you guys back when you opened for Elvis. And I'm like, no, we never opened for Elvis. He's a little older than us,
So I actually have a question on here about that I'm older, too. I'm 53, so I remember.
Okay, so you remember a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you had, you know, the Ed Sullivan Show and the Beatles and things like that. With kids nowadays, what do you think they have to look up to or a defining thing like that?
It's like, it's so difficult because back then, you know, you being the age you are, you know, like, it was certain shows that everybody watched as a family. Like, Ed Sullivan, everybody watched Ed Sullivan, you know. Even if you, you know, like Bye Bye Birdie, they do a whole big thing in that musical. I mean, right now, if a millennial, I think that's what they call the people born in these last two decades, they call them millennials. If they watched, they wouldn't know what they're talking about at Sullivan's show, you know. It's like kind of funny when, you know, some people don't even know. But back then there was Ed Sullivan, there was Bonanza, there was, you know, there was no cable TV when I was a kid.
Right.
You know, there
As
was
a
like,
child, you're the channel changer.
Yeah, there was 12 channels. Now there's like 300, you know, and no time to watch them. The reality shows and the internet, it's just, there's so much information that there's not that one thing. Like, you know, everybody used to watch Ed Sullivan and whatever was on there was, you know, they were the thing to watch, and that's how you saw things, and everybody watched as a family because you had one TV. Now everybody has a TV in their own room. They could go on the internet and watch TV. It's really hard. It seems just like the pop scene is sort of taken over here in America, not in Europe. In Europe, rock and roll is very much alive in there, especially metal and hard rock with the festivals they have. So I don't think there's any one thing anymore. And then with YouTube, like, it's a void. You can just get sucked into the void, and before you know it, 2 hours go by, you know, so because one video leads into another. And so it's hard for just, there's not those special one or two things anymore.
It's sad. I interview quite a lot of bands in town, and like some of the younger, like metalcore kids and stuff, they don't even know Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest. There's no foundation really anymore.
Yeah. It's well, enough people still know. I mean, there's a whole, with the whole retro thing, like a lot of the 80s bands, a lot of the big anthem rock, you know, is still big, you know, and with TV commercials. I mean, now I'm noticing a lot of the, it's almost like there was, like, frozen in time. Like, sometimes so many TV commercials and movies have used some of our songs. And, you know, Journey, or, like, I'll hear AC/DC. You know, a lot of the anthem rock still is alive and well. Because, you know, they have exactly what it was. It's anthems. You know, you have these choruses, and they just stick there. You know, people know them. Sometimes they may not know the name of the band, but they'll know the song. Yeah, like Priest and Maiden are more for people that really, for real metalheads, you know. I think bands like us, kind of because of We're Not Going to Take It and I Want to Rock and those anthem songs, I think we've sort of reached more of a middle ground. But, you know, still, I mean, Priest and Maiden still do very well when they tour.
Yeah, I just saw Judas Priest. It was still good, but, you know, they'll take you down.
Yeah.
When Tipton came out for a minute, you know, so.
Yeah, I know. I was, some friends of mine went to that show because I was actually coming back from Tennessee, and they picked me up at the airport. And they were on their way to see Priest, and they dropped me off in my car. They were on their way to see Priest because I had left from Philadelphia last time I went to Nashville. So I actually parked my car in the wrong parking lot, and I came back from a different airport, and they had to drive Priest's. So I asked him about Glenn, you know, because I know he's got
Parkinson's,
I believe. So, which is, so he's, I know he's on tour and he comes out for a couple of songs, but, you know, it's sad to see, you know, because him and KK, you know, have been, you know, we've played with Priest a few times, and they were always, I always stayed to watch them, you know.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. They just kill it, you know.
The crowd is very respectful when he came out and did Breaking the Law.
In fact, yeah, that's, it's funny because, Richie Falcor, I worked with a music store. I've been selling some of my gear because I'm moving and I'm not going to have room. I'm, you know, downsizing. I don't have room for some of the stuff. I've collected some really cool stuff over the years, but I don't really want to keep a lot of the stuff anymore. It was something I did for years and have fun doing it, but now it's time to just, you know, lighten the herd and let somebody else, you know, make use of it instead of just having something in a closet or somewhere, you know, hanging for doing nothing. You know, I'd rather see people using it. One of my guitars I had a Gretsch White Falcon, at the Music Zoo in Long Island, and Richie ended up buying it. It's a Falcon, and they call him the Falcon because of Falcon, you know. So he ended up buying one of my guitars, which is nice to know, you know. I don't think he'll use it in Priest because it's kind of like, I don't know if you're familiar with the Gretsch White Falcon, but it's kind of the big, it's a big guitar, like Malcolm Young used to use it all the time. And it's not the kind of guitar you usually see a metal guy use, but it actually sounds great when you play through a heavy amp for a big guitar, you know, if it's kind of like a semi-hollow body. Well, it is a hollow body. It's a pretty, it's a beautiful guitar, but it's not something you would see like a metal guy using. They use it with a Les Paul or a Strat. So I don't know, maybe he uses it with Priest. It's a nice guitar, so I'm sure he'll enjoy it.
I know your background and have done some research, so I know in your life you've had some very long-term relationships, be it marriage or bands. And I'm wondering, there's very little controversy about you. There's very little, you know, like rocking the boat and things like that. What is it about you that is so calm and keeps things together?
You know what? I just, I try to be like a private person. I don't like to put anybody down. I try not to be opinionated, you know. And I just kind of mind my own business, you know. I try to stay out of people's way, especially if somebody's trying to be negative or stuff. And so, you know, I've always been like that. I kind of keep it. I don't like a particular artist, or I don't even like to use the word I don't like somebody. Just because somebody does some kind of music or an actor, that so many people are so busy hating everybody, you know, or just putting everything down, that it's just a waste. To me, it's a waste of time. I just look at it as like, well, you just don't get it. You know, if somebody's doing really well and they're very successful, somebody's getting it. You know, I'm happy for them. You know, just because I don't get it doesn't mean I have the right to say it sucks or put it down. And, you know, I know so many people that are always like, oh, this guy sucks, that guy sucks, you know, this guy can't play, or, you know, that band is terrible, or she can't sing, or, you know, it's just so many of these things. And it's a lot of times I think it's jealousy, because sometimes people just really do well, and just because you don't get what they're doing doesn't mean that they're bad. It's just, you don't get it. It's not your thing, you know. So I just, you know, I'm happy for anybody doing well. It's a tough business. The music business is very tough, or the entertainment business in general. So, you know, not everybody's going to like everything someone does. It's just the nature of the way people are. Yeah, I just try to keep an open mind about stuff and say, well, you know, I don't get it. I don't say I don't like it. I just say it's not something I'd be into, but I'm happy for them. So that's just my attitude, you know.
I wish there were more people like you. It's a good way.
Better off than, you know. Yeah, there's no point in hater being a hater.
In 2017, I saw an interview where you said you might want to try your hand at acting. Has that, anything happened in the last year or so?
Not really. I mean, I'd like to do something. I'm working with someone. She's an actress. Her name is Heidi Holliker. She was in the movie Valley Girl and a few other movies. And she's like a showrunner too. She works for Magnolia Films. And I know that she wants to try and do a show with myself and Rudy Sarzo where, you know, we go around interviewing different people. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, because I've been friends with Rudy for a very, very long time, and, you know, we're both Latino, like he's Cuban, I'm Puerto Rican, so we kind of were brought up very similar ways. So, and, you know, for us to be rockers in this business, because, you know, we grew up listening to Latin music, and, you know, we sort of rebelled, I guess. Or not rebelled, but we went rock and roll. You know, that's another thing that we have in common, so.
That's nice. That would be a really great program.
Yeah.
When I grew up with country music, and I think I must have been 14, and I saw Motorhead with Ozzy Osbourne and Randy, and I was third row right in front of Rudy Sarzo, and he changed my life. From that point on, I never, ever found anything that I loved as much as music.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy, on top of being an amazing musician. So, and then, you know, that was, you saw the classic Ozzy band, you know, with him and Randy. Yeah, he has a whole, I mean, he did the whole book Off the Rails about that, you know. It'll be cool. I mean, it's hard to get a show nowadays with things, but, you know, she came up with the idea, and, you know, she's going to pitch it to some people, and we'll see what happens. I think it'll be a really cool show, because we both know a lot of people. We've been in the business a long time, so, you know, it would be something really, you know, cool to do, and interview different people. So we'll see what happens with that. You know, yeah, I'd like to get into acting, but it's a hard thing. I mean, everybody's, Gene Simmons has tried it. Dee is interested in acting a lot, but it's hard. It's one of those things where it's funny because I meet actors that play and they want it to be rock stars, and then a lot of rock stars want to be actors. So it's like, you're lucky enough, if you get to do both, like for, like Will Smith, he's been one of those guys that does music and, but his acting career took off, so some people do that and some people, it's a hard thing. Some guys are, in the hip hop scene, I know quite a few guys have been able to break into acting, almost took over what they did with music.
Like Ice-T. Yeah, Ice-T.
Ice-T, exactly. Common, Queen Latifah. I mean, look at her career. She's an actress now. She's not even even does music anymore. So who knows? It's not too many rockers have been able to transfer over. But, it's as long as, I got what, my first love is music. So, I'm glad that worked out.
It has been a pleasure. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we covered everything.
Well, I will see you in November.
Thanks, Susie. I'll see you then.